Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Bless your name, Lord. Amen. Hold on. Help's on the way, folks. Sister Bobby, come up here. Brother Rodney, come up here. They don't know what I'm going to do. Come on up here. This morning, the emphasis of my message today is that there is a rope of hope. This, today, for this service, is our rope of hope. I'm going to ask these two people to pray over this rope. There's just a rope. I went down the other day to Home Depot and bought 25 foot of rope and took it home, and all it is just a rope. But we're going to pray over this rope this morning. And I'm believing that somebody in this service today is going to leave this place with a renewed hope that will carry them on. This is just a simple rope, but this morning it symbolizes your freedom and your help. Your help, I'm just here to tell you, your help is on the way. Hold on, your help is on the way. And this is just a little symbol. That's all it is. It's a rope, but it's our rope of hope. It's our rope of hope, and before you leave here today, you're going to be challenged to take hold of the rope of hope. And when you do, God is going to set you free and make you whole and renew your confidence in the Lord. Would you pray? Would you guys pray over this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this is just an ordinary rope. But this morning we want it to become a symbol of deliverance and of hope and of courage and of confidence. Because there are people here this morning, Lord, that need your help today. And I pray that this morning that this rope will in fact be the rope of hope that will bring deliverance and confidence into their experience today. In Jesus' name. And amen, and amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're not going to do jump rope. Don't get nervous here this morning. I remember years ago when I was pastoring in Central Springs, I preached a sermon one day about drawing a line. And a lot of people struggle with a lot of things, and they use all kind of excuses as to why they haven't gotten victory in their life over things in their life that are contrary to the will of the Lord. And so I challenged the church that morning to draw a line and step over it and declare, I'm not going to look back. I'm stepping over this thing and I'm not going to look back. And I went down and I just took my foot and I drew an imaginary line across the front of the church, and I challenged people to come. We had a man that had been smoking for years and he wanted to be delivered. He wanted to be set free, and he knew that this was something in his life that was hindering his relationship with the Lord. And that morning he walked up and he stepped over that imaginary line. And God delivered him and set him free. From that day on, he never smoked another cigarette. I'm believing that God is going to do something significant here this morning in this service. And it's not because of who I am or who you are, but it's because God knows where you are and He knows what you have need of. When you walked in the building this morning, He already had your ID. Amen. He knows everything about you. Amen. 2 years ago, I got a phone call. I received a phone call early one morning, about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and it was Sister Sherry Reed, and she said, Pastor Cash, Pastor Ronnie's sick this morning. He's not going to be able to preach. Well, panic hit me about that time. Now it's 5:30 in the morning, see. And she said, Pastor Ronnie's not going to be able to preach today. He's sick, and would you come and preach this morning? So I said, well, I'll do the best I can. So I looked around, and the first thing I always do is pray, especially when it's 5:30 in the morning and you need to start preaching at 8:30. And I began to pray, Lord, help me to know what to do and what to say this morning, and help me to give me a message that will be important and that you will bless. And the Lord led me to a message that I'd preached some time before that, entitled, My Hope is in the Lord. And so I came that Sunday morning and I preached on that subject, My Hope is in the Lord. And some of you may remember that. It was just a couple of years ago. I think most of you can remember back 2 years, can't you? Some of you may have a little struggle with that, but most of us can think back 2 years ago. When Pastor asked me to preach today, I began to pray and ask the Lord. I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And what would you like for me to say? And I began to feel the Lord speaking to my heart about preaching on the subject of hope. And I said, Lord, I just preached on that 2 years ago. And, I don't want to repeat myself by any means. And so I tried to get away from it. I tried to move to other areas. I searched the scriptures and I was looking, searching and asking the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and give me some direction. But every time I prayed about it and every time I thought about it, God always brought me back to hope. And God began to speak to my heart and to say that there's going to be someone here this morning that you're dangling on the end of your rope and you need to have your hope renewed today. Now, this is not the same message that I preached 2 years ago, same subject matter, but not the same message. And I'm praying that God will help us today and that someone, even if there's one person here this morning, can leave this place knowing that their hope in the Lord has been renewed, then that's well worth it. Are you listening to me this morning? Just one. If one person can be touched by the Lord today and be encouraged in their walk with the Lord, then it will be worth everything. So I have our hope rope in front of us, and we're going to believe the Lord for a miracle in the house today, and we're believing that God's going to do something good in the house. Amen? And so if you have your Bible this morning, our scripture text is Titus chapter 2. And we'll begin with verse 11, Titus chapter 2. If you have a Bible like mine, it's on page 1050. If you don't have a Bible like mine, just keep thumbing through. You'll find it. Over there past Timothy, Thessalonians, Timothy, Philemon. A little book of Titus. Paul, writing to this gentleman by the name of Titus, one of his workers, one of his co-workers. And in verse 11, he says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Father, honor the preaching of your word this morning. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us today the very breath of your presence. I pray that you will touch the hearts of people here today, because their souls being weighed in the balances, and there are some that are wanting because they have run the race and they have pushed forward and they have pressed through so much stuff. And today, Lord, they're struggling to hold on. But Lord, I pray that this will in fact be the day that we can say, hold on, help is on the way. Amen. I want you to look at this passage with me this morning before we move on, because when we talk about hope, I think we must include the blessed hope that Paul talks about here in the book of Titus. And it's a hope that all of us should have this morning. It's a hope that should carry us on from day to day. And when you're walking through the darkest valley of your life, and you're walking through the deepest valley of your life, and it seems like you're not going to be able to find a way out, and you see no way out, and it seems to be an endless journey that you're on, I want you to know that there is hope for you, because Paul talks about this blessed hope in the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you think about it, but everything that I hear and everything that's going on in the world that we live in today should be ringing some bells of alarm in our life, and we should realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to be looking for his appearing. Can I hear an amen from this church this morning? And so Paul talks about this blessed hope that we have and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says, in this pursuit of this peace that he's talking about and hope that he's talking about here, he says that this will help us to be taught to live God, to live godly lives, sober lives, righteous lives, and godly in this present world. You see, a lot of people are thinking that one day when the Lord comes, then we'll go to heaven and everything's going to be all right, and I don't have to worry about how I live right here. Well, first of all, I want to tell you, everything is going to be all right. There's coming a day when all the wrongs are going to be made right. We're living in a day today where the things that we used to think were wrong, now they seem to be right for some reason. And there's been such a flip-flop of moral value and concern and righteousness in the world that we live in. But I'm here this morning to tell you that there's coming a day when Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will come back as he has promised, and he will carry us home, and all things that are wrong will be made right. But until that happens, then we're to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. So I want to just sound that alarm and tell you this morning, it does matter how you live. It does matter how you walk every day. It does matter what you think. It does matter the things that you do. What happens in your life on a daily basis does matter to God. Amen. And you cannot live any kind of old way and think that you're pleasing the Lord, because God wants you to live a righteous and godly life in this present world. Now, I'm sorry, I don't ascribe to the philosophy, well, we have to sin a little bit more or less every day. Now, some people live by that theology. It's okay, I can do what I want to do because it's all covered by the grace of God. Well, in a sense, we know that all sin is covered by his blood. Amen? We understand that. But I want you to know this morning that God expects us to walk right and talk right and be right every day that we live. Amen. You don't have a free pass to live like the devil and expect to go to heaven. I never have understood that philosophy. I don't understand it today. If you're going to make it to heaven, if you're going to see the appearing of the Lord and go home to be with Him, we better start living like God wants us to live and not live any kind of old way expecting to go to heaven. A thought just occurred to me, and I hate to bring this up because she's not here, but I'll probably come back to this in the next service too. Most of you know my wife, Jane. And Jane's the kind of person that if you want to know something, ask her and she'll tell you. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask her, because she's going to tell you the truth one way or the other. It's going to be right. It's going to be truth. And that's the kind of person that she is. And how do you think she would feel if I went out all week and flirted around and caroused around and hoot-nannied around with some other woman or women all week long and then come back to her on Saturday night and say, "Oh, baby, I'm home." I'd be home all right. I'd be dead, Jim. You know, Jane, I'd be dead. There'd be no question about that. I wouldn't be able to get in the front door because I would die right there at the front door. But I think you understand my point. You know, in my marriage relationship, there are things that she expects from me. And one of the things that she expects from me is to be an honorable, good, law-abiding, faithful husband. Amen. And I expect that from her. And so I want to tell you this morning, if you're planning to go to heaven, you need to walk the line. You need to be what God wants you to be. You need to live right and not live any kind of old way and expect to go to heaven, because I'm sorry, folks, you may not make it. Because it's important to God that we live right. We live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And when we live that way, then we can have a blessed hope. We believe that the Lord is coming, and when He comes, we'll be carried home to be with Him. Amen. Now that keeps me going every day. I don't know how it affects you, but that sort of keeps me on the straight and the narrow. That helps me to think twice about things that I say. That helps me to think twice about the things that I do. When I'm going down the road and road rage wants to take over because some crazy person pulled in the front of me. When I want to say something that I shouldn't say. It's the Holy Ghost that comes by and says, "Oh, check it right there now." Because you're not just living any kind of way. You're living for the Lord. You're living for the kingdom of God. You're a citizen not of this world, but you're a citizen of the world yet to come. And you've got to live right to get there. If those who go to heaven must live according to the word of the Lord. And so he talks about this blessed hope that we have in the coming of the Lord. How many of you believe this morning that the Lord's coming? Well, that's about half of you. Boy, I got my job cut out for me this morning. I've got to try to convince the rest of you that He's coming. Can I just tell you this morning, the Lord is coming. He promised that He is coming. Amen. He promised that He would come back. When His disciples were gathered and He ascended into heaven out of their sight on the mount and the angels appeared, they said, "Why are you standing here looking up into heaven, gazing up into heaven? For the same Jesus, just as you've seen Him go, one day He will come again. As you have seen Him go, He will come again." Jesus said in John 14, He said, "In my Father's house house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare for you a place. I want to tell you this morning, Church of God in Crystal River, Jesus is preparing for us a place this morning. And when that place is finished, He's coming back to get us and carry us home to be with Him in heaven. Woo! What a blessed hope. What a blessed hope. It keeps me living right. It keeps me on my knees in prayer. It keeps me into the Word of God. I don't want to mess up. I've come too far now to turn back. I don't want to turn back. I have no desire to turn back. I only have one goal in life, and that is to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we have a blessed hope. Well, let me talk for just a minute about maybe what hope isn't. We all use this word so casually. People say, "Well, I hope my team wins the Super Bowl." Well, good luck on that one. Whoever your team may be, I'm not a sports fan, so I don't watch that unless the Gators and the Seminoles are playing. And I do watch that because I'm interested. And there is a team that I want to win. I'm not going to tell you which one. I won't make anybody mad at me this morning. But people use that expression, I hope my team wins the Super Bowl. Or maybe you've said, "Well, I hope I get a raise." Well, that's a good one, isn't it? I hope I get a raise. And the Christian walk is not a hope-so experience. It is a no-so experience, though. We're not hoping something will happen. We're not sitting here this morning thinking, "Well, I hope I make it to heaven. I hope the Lord will take me when He comes." If that's the kind of experience that you have with the Lord, I invite you to come down this morning and take a hold of the rope of faith, the rope of hope, because you need some help. Come on now, folks. You need some help. You need to pray through. You need to have some assurance when you leave this building today that if the Lord were to come today, you know you'd be ready to go with Him. Hope is something that we need to have an assurance of. It's not a hope I go to heaven. It's not a hope I'm living right. It's not a hope that I'll make it. But I want you to know that if you're into the Word of God and you're on your knees like you should be, when the Lord comes, I'll guarantee you there's going to be every chance that you're going to make it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, he says, "For this reason I also suffer many things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know." Notice the terminology. He says, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him until that day." Now the word "day" there is capitalized, which means the day of the Lord's return. It's not just any ordinary day. It is a special day until the Lord comes. And He says, "I know that I believe in Him, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed unto Him." Many years ago, in a little church in Monroe, Virginia, I committed my life to the Lord. And I was sincere about that. I never have been one of those that's in today and out tomorrow like some people are. Their experience with God is conditional upon what condition they're in and wherever they are. And sometimes if they're in the right circumstances, they don't necessarily live for the Lord like He wants them to live. But I want to tell you, if you're going to make it in, you've got to have a determination that I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him. Amen. I've committed my life. I've committed my soul. I've committed all that I am unto the Lord. And I want you to know this morning, I have no desire to turn around and go back. It's been difficult. There have been some difficult roads. There have been some dark days. There have been some dark valleys that we've been through. But I want you to know, through everything that I've been through in this life, the Lord has always been right there with me. Hallelujah. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never walked away from me. He's always been there. And even though I may not see the daylight at the end of the tunnel, I know that his presence is there. I may not always feel his presence, but I know, I'm persuaded, I know that God is with me and will not forsake me. You don't have to feel something every day, but you can have confidence in the Lord, and therefore you have hope that everything's going to be all right. Serving God is not a feel-good religion. Now, we're Pentecostal. That means that we feel something. You know, that puts us in a little different category than some, because we are emotional people. We like to feel good. We like to feel what we feel when the Holy Ghost comes in to the atmosphere like we have experienced him this morning. We like that feeling. We like to come into the house of God, and Dennis and Sherry and the worship team sing. They might sing our favorite song, you know, and so makes us feel good when they sing our favorite song. Music can lift you up. It can also pull you down. You ever notice that? That's why the old country music singers sing about tears in their beer, because they're feeling down. I'd much rather get delivered and go to church and realize that there is joy in serving the Lord. Come on now. There's a joy in serving the Lord, and where the presence of the Lord is, there is joy and there's peace and there's happiness. But you don't always have to feel something. You know, we're human enough that we like to feel something. We like to feel the emotions of the moment. And being Pentecostal, we like spiritual atmosphere. We like to feel something. We like to feel it when the singers get up here and start singing. We like to feel something. But I want to tell you this morning, even though how wonderful that may be, you need to have a hope in you and a persuasion in you that if you never feel another good feeling, you're still going to press on and you're going to make it because of who God is, not because of how we feel. Aren't you excited about what God can do and is doing? We believe, we're persuaded that he's able to keep us and deliver us. And thank God for that. Hope is the knowledge of facts. Hope is not built on I think so's or I wish or I hope in a worldly sense. Hope is something that you know. Faith and hope always walk together. Wherever you find faith, you're going to find hope. And where you find hope, you're always going to find faith. Because they're twin brothers, and everywhere they go, they're going to be together. And this morning, we can talk about our faith. But if you have faith, you also have hope. Because you cannot have hope without having faith. And you cannot have faith without having hope. They always travel together. They're always walking down the same road. And so faith is, hope is built on facts that we know. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "For I know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I want to stop right there this morning and just say to you, I've often called this scripture into question. And I bet you have too. Because it says all things work together for good to those that love God. And there have been times in my life, and there have been times in your life, and maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe this is the part of the message that you need to hear. Maybe this is what God sent me here this morning to say, and maybe this is for you. And it's simply to say, we don't always understand God's will, but somewhere we have to believe that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Now, I struggle with that sometimes. I struggle with that scripture because sometimes I've been through difficulties and I've been through circumstances and I've thought, how in the world, God, are you going to get any glory out of this? How is this going to be for my benefit? When it feels like I'm crawling through the sewer of this world and all I smell is the stench of this world. The world has knocked me down. The devil has tripped me up. And I'm wallowing in a stench of this world. How can this work out for my good? I don't know how it's going to work out. All I know is the word of God says it, and I have to believe it. If God said it, we believe it, and we move on. Amen? Boy, that's good preaching, Brother Cash. I don't have to understand it. I have to believe it. And when I'm going through the worst trial of my life, I don't have to understand how it's going to be for my good. I just know that somehow God's going to turn it all around and make it good. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give you a quick example. Several years ago, I was working in our state office in Tampa. And everything was going well. I was making good money, making more money than I ever made before in my life. Everything was going well. Everything was going good. Got a call in one day from the state overseer. He said, come in my office. I need to talk to you. I thought, what in the world is this going to be about? So I go into his office, and he says, I'm sorry, but we're going to eliminate your whole department here at the state office. We've got to make cutbacks. And unfortunately, we've cut out your whole department, your salary, and your wife's as well. And when your boss has just given you the notice, what do you do? Your life begins to flash before your eyes, doesn't it? And you begin to think, well, I've got all these bills to pay. I got a car payment, a house payment, and insurance, and I have all these things that I'm obligated for. How in the world am I going to make this? How am I going to do this? How am I going to make it? Now, I'll be honest with you. I did not see the light of day. All I saw was doom and gloom. All I could see was the pit that I was in. I didn't dig that pit. That wasn't of my doing. Is this being taped? I could blame the state overseer and say it was all his fault. I mean, you have to blame somebody, don't you? Huh? When bad things happen, don't you have to blame somebody? I could have blamed numerous people, because 2 weeks prior to that, the chairman of the state council walked by my office, stuck his head in the door, and said, Brother Cash, don't worry. You want 2 more years? You've got 2 more years. But all of a sudden, my world was coming to an end, and I could not see the light of day. Where is the good? Where is the good that's going to come out of this? All things work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Where in the world, God, is the good in this moment? I could not see it. I could not see it. All I could see was the darkness of the moment. All I could see was disaster. All I could see was bankruptcy. All I could see was down and out. But God's word said, Dennis, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And while I'm thinking and contemplating on all of this and thinking, what in the world am I going to do? What am I going to do? I was thinking that I was going to have to come up here and talk to Brother Steve Teaster and get him to file bankruptcy for me so I could survive. But thank God I didn't need you. It was along that time, while all that was being processed, that some guy by the name of Ronnie Reed came by. And he said, Pastor Cash, would you consider coming and working part-time at the Crystal River Church of God? Well, the first thing that bothered me was part-time. Because sometimes part-time salary doesn't amount to a whole lot. But I had nothing. I had nothing. I was looking at nothing, Sister Bobby. I had nothing in front of me. And Pastor Ronnie says, would you consider coming and working for us at Crystal River Church of God? And he began to talk to me about it and explain what he was wanting and what he was looking for. And I thought, well, hey, I sort of fit that description. I think I can do that. I think I can go visit people in the hospitals and nursing homes. And I think I can talk to some of the old folks and keep them encouraged and pressing on the gospel way. And I think I can do those things. What are you saying, Brother Cass? I'm saying to you, in a moment in my life where I saw only the darkness, God began to shine the light into my life. And what I thought was going to be devastating has now become one of the greatest blessings of my life. And I have the privilege of working here at this church and serving with you. And I still struggle. That scripture, I still struggle with that at times. But I believe it. I have to believe it because it's the word of the Lord. And knowledge of hope is based on the knowledge of the fact. It is a fact. Can I tell you, it is a fact that God knows where you are and what you're going through and how dark your darkness is. He knows exactly where you are. And somehow, I don't know how and I don't know when and I don't know how it's going to happen, but I stand on the basis of the Word of God this morning and I say that somewhere, somehow, God will pull you through and make a way where there seems to be no way. Let me hurry along because I've run out of time anyway. I'm sorry, Sister World. She told me this morning to keep it short. I'm doing my best. Hope is the walking companion of confidence. I have confidence. Hope produces joy. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is contingent upon circumstances that are surrounding you. You can be happy or unhappy depending on what's happening to you and around you. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I am down on my knees and I'm down and out and I don't know which way to turn, the hope that I have in Christ Jesus produces a joy in my experiences. Says, I can press on because I know God will make a way somehow. We have confidence in God, who is the God of the universe. He is the creator of all things. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissa. And we could go all through the... I want to tell you this morning, my dependence is not on what man can do, but my dependence on what God can do and who He is. He will never let us fail. He will always make a way for us. Now the problem is that some have lost their hope. They may be still coming to church. They may still be singing the songs that all of us sing. They may be clapping their hands. They may be going through all the motions that we go through. But down deep in their heart, their hope is gone. They have lost their hope. And they're in despair. Many lose their hope because of trials and tribulations. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Some lose their hope because their vision is on self, not the Savior. Poor old me. I have it so hard. Oh, if you just knew what I was going through. What about Jesus? What did he go through? What did he suffer? Do you ever find a place where Jesus complained about what he suffered? Do you ever find any place in Scripture where Jesus says, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. This is too hard. I wish I had a thought more about this before I came to this whole world to give myself as a ransom for lost mankind. I wish I had a thought this through a little bit more. If I had realized it was going to be so hard, maybe I wouldn't have come. Did he ever do that? Absolutely not. Yet people say that, oh, it's just poor old me, I have it so hard. Sometimes it's sickness, sometimes it's finance, sometimes it's a marriage that's falling apart, sometimes it's your children that you have are driving you crazy. Life is full of difficulties. We can put tags and we can put labels and we can put names on all the things that have a tendency of robbing and stealing our hope this morning. But I want to tell you this morning that there is hope. There is hope for the hopeless. There is hope for those who are down and out. There is hope for those that have struggled with the difficulties of life. And there is a way that God will make it work in your life. And this morning, we have a rope of hope. Anybody need this rope? All right, Rodney, you're going to have to help me. Anybody need this rope? There you go. You need this rope? Come up here. Get a hold of it. Anybody else need this rope? Hold on now. Come on now. Go with me. Don't balk. Anybody else need this rope? Hora mendeshe la boro socorro mendeshe hey. Anybody else need this rope? Just grab a hold. There's enough for everybody. Anybody need this rope? Come with me. Come with me. Anybody need this rope? Anybody want to take hold? Anybody, you feel like you're on your last rope? You don't know what to do, where to go? We got a knot on the end of this rope. We're going to hold on. We're going to hold on. We're going to keep pressing on. We're not going to give up, are we? My Lord. This rope, I should have bought 100-foot. We're not going to give up, are we? We're not going to give up, are we? We're not going to throw in the towel, are we? We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We still have hope. As long as there's a God in heaven, there is hope. Are you listening to me this morning? There is hope. Now I want you to, do we have any of our spiritual life team here this morning? Come up and pray with me. Come up. I want you to hold that rope. That rope is your point of contact. That rope is what you're holding on to this morning. That rope may be standing between you and your eternity. You may be on the very edge of losing out with God and walking away from Him. But this morning you've taken a hold of the rope of hope, and God is going to make a way for you somehow. We worship. Come on up here, Bobby. Lord. prayer team, come on up here in front and start praying. Come on, start praying.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough.
Come on, start praying.
We worship you.
Start praying. Church, would you stand with me this morning?
Lord of the breakthrough.
Oh, my Father.
Lord of the breakthrough.
Touch us today, Father.
You are the Lord of the breakthrough. We worship you. We worship you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.